41 years of being a Christian, we still never outgrow the need for a booster shot in our faith. Huh? And so I feel like he gave me a booster shot to believe. I believe what he said, and I believe that he'll answer what I prayed. But something inside of me gripped it. That's faith. Because there's no outward sign that anything has changed in the prayers that I put before the Lord. And so I just encourage you, even as Jesus said in the Gospels, I am working and my Father is working, even until now. And so that's where your faith gets stretched, in the waiting. That's what makes faith real to you and I. In this process, will we trust him if it takes a week, a month, a year, 10 years? Will we still not let go of the hem of his garment, knowing there's no one else we can go to? There's no one else that has the answers. Jesus has the words of eternal life. And so just be encouraged. And I even have a request I told nobody else. Not my wife, nobody. It's a big one. And I told the Lord, I want it, and I need an answer to that. And I'm telling you, I will see it. I will see it, and when it happens, I will let you know. Because then you can do a little glory dance with me. Amen? All right, let's get to the Word. I'm excited to share today. This is the second of five messages the Lord gave me during this prayer and fasting time. And, you know, sometimes I don't even know until Saturday morning what I'm preaching, or Saturday afternoon what I'm preaching on Sunday. So to have, five messages lined up in the queue, that's just like, wow. Thank you, Lord. And so this comes from 2 Samuel chapter 22, 29 to 37. It's David's prayer of deliverance. He's crying out to the Lord. And you will also find it elsewhere in the Psalms and in the third chapter of Habakkuk. For you are my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord illumines my darkness. For by you I can run upon a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is blameless or perfect. The word of the Lord is tested. He is a shield to all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is a rock beside our God? God is my strong fortress, and he sets the blameless in his way. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and sets me on my high places. He trains my hands for battle so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Thank you, Lord. And your help makes me great. You enlarge my steps under me, and my feet have not slipped. Very powerful heart cry from David to the Lord. Now, way back in 1991, I watched a movie, and I've actually watched it a number of times because it just tickles my funny bone. It's called What About Bob? And in that movie, Bob Murray is a very needy guy. He's got all kinds of issues and struggles and phobias. And this, if you want to say it, world-renowned psychiatrist, Richard Dreyfuss, oversees his care. And it's a whole series of mishaps. And really, in the end, he doesn't really even need to be cured, but he puts the psychiatrist in the nut house. It just drives him out of his mind. But the thing in that movie that pertains to our text today is the plan of curing was taking baby steps. Any of you remember that? And so Bill Murray, he's hysterical. Every time he faces a challenge, he just goes, baby steps. Baby steps. I'm going to take baby steps. And it doesn't matter what he's doing, and he's so serious when he does it, which makes it even more funny. So I still can't stop laughing when I think about it. But we as Christians, there's a process for us to get from, and this is how I look at it, God accepts us, right, Rich? With all our muck, all our crap, he accepts us. When we receive salvation, he accepts us. He doesn't wag a finger, he just welcomes us. But so he takes us from that point with all our mess to where he envisions us to be, the redeemed person. And step by step, he takes care of. You don't take care of those things. You may think you do. No, he takes care of those things. As long as we are willing to take the steps he asks us to take. That's covenant. We have to cooperate with his treatment plan. Amen? And so, God spoke to me, and I believe he spoke to all of us during this 21-day prayer and fasting that we're concluding today. And I will start by asking, myself included, us, where do we go from here? As a church, or where do you go from here personally? What is the next step? What do you do now? And so I've entitled this message, Next Steps. That's what the Lord spoke to me. That's one of the things I heard during this time. Next Steps. And I see five steps as a guideline in this brief passage here that David, in his cry to the Lord. And they are in this order, and then we'll go through them. Number one, assess. Secondly, access. Third, profess or speak. Four, progress. And five, possess. Five steps in our guideline along this journey, trying to discover the will of the Lord for your life and ultimately for our church, since we're That was a big part of the thrust here of these 21 days. So number one, assess, verse 29. You need to look at. That word assess means to look at, evaluate, or appraise the situation to determine what, how, or when, what you have to do, or how do you proceed. And so it speaks there about the light of the Lord. Lord, you are my lamp, and you light the way. You show me the way, in other words. You won't stumble in the darkness, he says elsewhere in Scripture, if you're walking in the light. And so part of this assessment might be for you to ask godly counsel. Another part is to pray further for clarification. Seek the Lord to get his assessment and his plan on how you proceed to succeed. You are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord illumines or sheds light on my darkness. And even last night, I was all done with the message, but I think the Lord wants you to hear this. Even though we know it, sometimes we need to be reminded. He said he has an open door policy. And that means you can come, if you're having a bad day or a good day, if you feel like praying, you don't feel like praying, you can talk to him. If you're mad at him, the door is open. And so be real in your prayers, is what I think the Lord is saying. Don't be ashamed. Don't be bashful. He knows how you feel. He knows where you're at anyway. It's not a secret. Open door policy. Psalms 36, verse 9. For with you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light. And see, prayer is one of the main avenues through the anointing of the Holy Spirit where we get clearer vision, where we can assess our situation and then cry out, oh Lord, what do I do now? I need your help. I'm desperate for your help. No assessment is complete without input from the Holy Spirit. And so if you think you're going to figure it out up here, my friends, that is not any kind of solution. It may offer you some temporary relief, but that's all it will be. It won't be a solution. It won't be the answer that you seek and that you need. So any assessment is incomplete without input from Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5, 9 to 10, talking about walking in faith and in revelation and aiming to please him. For the fruit of the light, or walking in the light, consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Now, I was talking to another pastor recently, and he said, all these years I've realized all I've been doing is making students, and I need to make disciples. You know, there's a big difference. A student can accumulate knowledge. He can learn. He can know the Bible. But that in and of itself will not build character, and it will not change the way you think or behave. Only God and the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit can do that. So are you content to be a student? Just come to church, hear a sermon, have a teaching? Or do you want to be a disciple? No, it's not up to the Lord, it's up to you to make that choice. To walk in faith and revelation, aiming to please Him. That is the sole desire of a disciple. Whatever you want, Lord, that's what I want. So assess. Number two, access. Verse 30 and 31 speaks there about being able to run upon a troop and jump over a wall. Because the word of God is tested, and it's a shield. It protects us. It shields us. Even shields us from going in the wrong direction if we submit to it. To access is to go to or tap into, in our case, God's wisdom, God's strength, and God's understanding. To gain insight on how and when to proceed. And, you know, hearing from the Lord is great and it's exciting. But I must confess, especially when I was younger, but I could still do it today, when I hear something from the Lord, I want to run and do it. And when I was younger, my heart wanted to please Him, but the timing was way off, and nothing but a mess was created. So we not only need to know how, but we need to know when. Is it now, Lord? Well, and that's where the waiting, and that's where your faith is stretched. I mean, you know you heard Him, but He's saying, hold on, son. There's other people involved in this circumstances here, and I'm working in them as well as in you. So we need to access God for His wisdom and strength for timing as well. By thee I can overcome any, I can jump over a wall. I don't know, but at my age, that's a challenge. The scripture says also in the Psalms, through Him I can do valiantly. It is He who will strike down my enemy. And the wall there is representative of an obstacle, something that's in your way, preventing you from walking in the plan and the purposes of God that will fulfill your destiny. That's what it's talking about, leaping over that wall, getting past that obstacle to taking the next step and proceeding with God's plan. Then it says there in verse 31, the word of the Lord is tested or tried, and I would add, and found to be more than enough. It's not just, you know, adequate, it's more than enough. It always is. It has the power to bring you beyond yourself. And it's tested to accomplish what He plans and desires. And sometimes it's hard to discern the difference between what I want and what He wants. And that's the challenge, and that's where the knee position will bear the fruit and yield the answers that we need. Isaiah 55:11, He accomplishes and succeeds in the matter which He declares. So will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Again, this is where faith becomes real. Because we know we heard him. No one's going to convince us otherwise. And yet, God, what's happening? Nothing's happening. I don't see anything happening. That's when you get stretched. It doesn't invalidate the word of God. It simply means you have to wait. And we live in a day and a time and in a culture where we don't want to wait. We hate it, if we're honest. We hate it. I mean, I have everything I can do to wait 2 minutes in the grocery line when somebody's fumbling with their change because they, you know, I always get those people in the express line. How about you? It's to test me. It's to purify my heart. Why am I getting upset with that old man? He's just doing his best. He's not doing anything wrong. But me, I'm like, come on, let's get on with it here. I got things to do, people to see, places to go. Waiting accomplishes the perfect work of faith. Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not pass away. John 17:17. Sanctify or set apart, concentrate them in the truth. Your word, Lord, is truth. And two other ones for you to study, Isaiah 45:23. These are not there, Robin. Isaiah 45:23 and Psalms 119:160. So by your words and actions, you need to prove your trusting and dependence upon the Lord. Jesus is always the answer to our and your next steps. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight or direct your path. Number three, profess. Verse 32 and 33. It's talking about praising him. And by the way, praise is appropriate before you get your answers. Thanksgiving is actually praise. You thank the Lord before he answers your prayer. Because faith says, I believe it. I believe you're trustworthy, you're faithful, and you know my concerns, you know my desires, and you want to fulfill those as they line up with your plan for my life. And so it's talking about praise here, professing how great is our God, which we sang at the end of the worship segment. Who is the rock besides my God? My God can be depended upon, is what it's saying. I can go to him with questions that need answers. That's my paraphrase here. He delivers rock-solid solutions. Who is a rock besides my God? Where else can I go to for the hard answers? Nowhere else. Psalms 31:3. For thou art my God and my fortress. For thy name's sake, thou wilt lead me and guide me. And you know, sometimes that's painful. Because God wants to bring us someplace we don't want to go. And I was, can't remember who, but I was talking to somebody about the shepherd's staff recently. And you know that hook you know, it comes up and then there's a hook. Well, the shepherd uses that with the sheep and he gets them by the neck when they want to stray and he pulls them back into the flock. And it sounds cruel, but if he didn't and that sheep wandered off, he'd be prey for the enemy. And so sometimes you might feel like God's giving you a yank. Ooh, that hurt. But it's for your good. He disciplines us for our good. He leads us and guides us. Psalms 71, verse 3. Be thy to me a rock of habitation. Are you hearing it? That's your resting place in the Lord. He's the rock. That's where you should live, in the rock, in Christ. Be to me a rock of habitation to which I can continually come. You have given me commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. And you can take that further in verses 4 to 7. We're not going to go there at this moment. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4. For his work is perfect, for all his ways are just. You know, who said that it has to be fair? But it all will always be just. Some of the things we have to go through, we're like, Lord, why me? I mean, I jokingly say that to my wife and my daughter when they do something that, you know, doesn't particularly go along with my agenda. I just go, why me? Why me, Lord? I know you never do that with your spouse. Nope. Nope, nope, no. You're much more spiritual than I am then. His way is perfect and just. His ways are just. Psalms 86, verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. It's not talking about cowering in fear. It's talking about honoring and respecting him for who he is, not for what he does. I will walk in truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. So we need to profess or declare our total dependence on the Lord. Because, Proverbs 18:24, there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Hebrews 4:16, that we might find grace to help in time of need. Let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy first and find grace to help in time of need. Don't confuse mercy with grace. They're not the same. But he offers us both freely because of his Son, Jesus Christ. Number 4, progress from verse 34 to 36. He makes my hind feet, never mind. He makes my feet like hinds' feet, and he sets me on my high places. So, Andrew knows this because there is what we would call a deer, some would call a gazelle in Israel. And, you know, much of Israel is desert, it's arid. But Israel has some mountains, and they're pretty rugged. And so there's a deer in Israel called a hind. And this is what I found. You can find it in many places. This was on a website called His High Places. Hind is a female deer that can place her back feet exactly where her front feet stepped. And that's pretty awesome, if you think about it, on rocky terrain. Exactly where her front feet stepped. And she's able to run on, like this is on rocks now, with abandonment, not stopping, like full tilt, in other words. In times of danger, she is able to run securely and not get off track. The hind is able to scale unusually difficult terrain and elude predators or enemies. And so, how many of you need to pray for spiritual hind's feet? I do. Because there's going to be some challenges in the days ahead that you are unable to meet without His help. You need His strength to help you to persevere in those things, in those places where He leads you. You know, the temptation sometimes is start to rebuke the devil. No. It's not the devil. God has a perfect plan for your life. Don't think just because you got to go through some stuff, it's the devil. It's part of God's purification process to build the character of Christ in us. So don't be so quick to give the enemy credit. Praise God. Cry out to God for help and strength during those times. You're probably going to need the hind's feet for some of these situations and places where God's going to lead you. Romans 8, 37. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loves us. So, it doesn't matter what the challenge, the inconvenience, it doesn't matter how far God takes you out of your comfort zone, there's always a reason. And through prayer and trusting Him, He'll walk you through it, and He'll tell you, this is the next step, son. Just take this step. Stay with me. Don't hit the eject button, because you're going to repeat it. If you don't learn through those circumstances what God wants to accomplish, you're going to have another challenge. And let me tell you, that may be even more difficult. Because God wants to get your attention about something that needs correction in your life. Because He loves us. He can't allow it to continue. Verse 35, He trains my hands for battle. He equips or empowers us to face any challenge or obstacle. And He gives us the boldness to take the next step. Now, I've been in some pretty rugged terrain, mostly in my younger years, but I wouldn't be afraid to do it now because I know who's right by my side, my friend who sticks closer than a brother. If He leads me, He will guide me. If He leads me, He will provide whatever I need to be victorious. Verse 36 there, He gives the shield of thy salvation in our text. Or the shield of faith, it calls that in Ephesians 6, 16 and 17 for you to study later. Thy help makes me great. 2 Corinthians 2:14. I love this. This is a faith scripture. But thanks be to God who always, did I say always? Who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. So, do you mean, Lord, you want me to talk to that person? Yes, son. They need me. They need to know me. You want me to do what? Did I hear you right, Lord? Yes, son. You heard me. That's what I want you to do. Are you getting the picture? This is the life of a disciple. The continuing work of the cross in your life. It doesn't end until you're in the grave. I'm sorry, that's the good news, though. That is good news, because he's faithful. He will continue to work at it, work things into you and work things out of you until the day you perish. Because he loves you. He knows you and he wants his best for you. He helps make me great. He leads me in triumph. It's a quest of faith. 1 John 5:4. Talks about this is the victory, our faith. That's how we overcome life's obstacles. So we need to call upon him and he will ensure our progress. Galatians 6:9. In due time, we will reap if we do not give up, if we do not grow weary. With his help, we can and will be victorious. Number 5, possess. You know, it's okay if the progress is slow. Sometimes you think nothing's happening, or did I miss the Lord? No. Sometimes that's what a process is. It's not instant. It takes time. Anything that's worthwhile has a cost. Anything God wants to do in your life is going to be a cost associated with it. Laudas, verse 36 in 2 Samuel. Thou dost enlarge my steps under me. And I would comically add, he gives you giant steps instead of baby steps. If you want to walk like a giant, you have to have steps like a giant. You can't be a giant and walk with baby steps. Doesn't compute. Proverbs 4:11-12. I have directed you. Your steps are not impeded. You will run and not stumble. Verse 12. When you walk, your steps will not be impeded. And if you run, you will not stumble. And so this is talking about that process of sanctification, being made holy, God working things into our life and working things out of our life, which is usually more painful because they become established like a stronghold. And sometimes we don't even recognize it. I don't have a temper. What are you talking about? After you just unloaded. My feet have not slipped. With his help, you'll always reach his best and enter his plan, his promises, and his purposes. Your feet won't slip. You know, I've taken some pretty nasty falls the last 2 winters. And so my neighbor gave me these strap-on stretchable things that go over your boots with spikes. And so the squirrels always know when I'm coming. Makes a lot of noise. but I won't slip on the ice. So you got to do what you need to do in order to not to slip and fall from God's grace. Second Peter 1, 3 and 4, he has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him, Jesus, who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. So he's given us everything we need to not fall short of the promises. That's what that verse, those two verses are saying. That's his insurance policy, if you will. 2 Corinthians 1:20, God's promises are yes. So here's the dilemma. Has God made you promises? Has he? Will you agree? He's promised a number of things to us. But unless you do something, they remain unclaimed. They're there. They're powerful. They're promised. But unless you take the initiative and do something, there they are. They're out there. But they don't become real in your own life or profitable in your own life. So we need to claim it and take possession of those promises. 1 Peter 1:4. By faith, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, how about that? Reserved in heaven. You want it? You believe it, you need to possess it. You need to claim that which is rightfully yours. And the enemy of your soul does everything. He pulls out all the stops to prevent you from reaching the prize. And he wants to hoodwink us to think we're not worthy, we're not good enough, we didn't pray enough, we didn't serve enough. We didn't give enough. No, 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 no. That's a lie. Those are ours. And they are a gift. Just like salvation. Just like revelation. Just like God's grace. It's a gift. But you and I have to grab a hold of it and possess it. Just because that is number five doesn't mean it's the least important. It's probably the most important. Reserved in heaven for you. I missed a scripture, Robin. Not your fault. Colossians 1:12 talks about the inheritance of the saints of light. And elsewhere also it talks about that for your notes. Ephesians 1. Verse 11 and following. So we need to press forward. You know, you gain nothing by treading water, by just doing what you always did, getting in a rut, praying like you always prayed. You know, it's not going to cut it in these challenging times we find ourselves in. We're going to have to step it up a notch. And I believe that's what God's been telling me. For my own life, I have to step things up. It's easy to become complacent or laid back or comfortable. And God says, no. These things are yours, but it's your responsibility to do something with them, to possess them. Don't settle for less than his promises or his promised land for your life. Keep pressing forward, onward, to God's best. Philippians 3:12-14. So, the next steps, he's going to be with us. He's going to be with you. And everything we do in these next steps are for him, with him, and in him. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. He's so faithful. He's so good. He's so trustworthy. And I'll close with this, 2 Peter 3, verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. In other words, forever. Amen. So I hope that you take the challenge of this message and the challenge of these 21 days. I don't know about you, but I call it a holy discontent. That's when God won't let me sit still. He won't let me stay where I am. He's up to something, if you will. I don't always like it, but I recognize it. And I know that I am going to be the loser if I don't respond to it. So I pray that you will take his challenge and reach for the gold in these coming days. God bless you.